I'm super excited today to get to hear the Word of God from Pastor Karen.
Yes.
And one of the things that those of you who aren't as familiar with the Covenant Church may not realize is that for over 40 years, in fact, just over 40 years ago, this denomination has fully ordained women in all areas of ministry, believing that both men and women are called and gifted, both up here, at the pulpit, behind the scenes, to serve in all capacities. And so one of our commitments is for you to be able to hear the Word of God preached from both men and women, young and old, in this year. So I want to invite Karen up, and I look forward to sitting under her teaching today, and I hope you do too. Let's welcome Karen.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. Can you guys hear me? Is anybody else fighting a cold this week? So I come bringing my whole heart, but only half of my voice. So if you could bear with me, I appreciate it. Pastor Steve has been bringing us a great message from Luke these past few weeks. He started off with teaching us about searching for Jesus in the new year, growing closer to Jesus in the new year, following Jesus in the new year. And this morning, I'm really excited to talk to you about sharing Jesus in the new year. And I've asked Miss Diane if she would read scripture for us from Luke 19:37 through 40.
I first give honors to God as the head of my life, just to be before you, to our pastor, and to our youth leader pastor, to Pastor Amy, she's probably not here, and to all of you. I'm going to be reading to you, and may I ask you a question, please? For all things that are evil, can you stand for the Word of God? For all those that are evil. I'm going to be reading from Luke 19:37 through 40. Can you hear me okay? Okay. When he came near the place, talking about Jesus, where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Some of y'all are singing. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." In other words, tell them to pipe down on something they're so happy about. They act like you some big thing. That's my version. Then let's listen to what Jesus says to them. This is Jesus replying to them. I tell you, if they keep quiet, I'll just have the stones cry out. And he can do it. Can you imagine yourself walking down your driveway and all of the bad mood and the stones on the side, yippee-ki-yay, praise God! Can you imagine seeing the stones cry out? I'm not going to let the stones cry out. I get to praise him. I get to have a voice. And I'm going to praise him. I'll be darned if I let the stones take my place.
Thank you, Miss Diane. So since we're talking this morning about sharing Jesus in the new year, I thought it would be appropriate if I shared with you a little bit about my journey to becoming a Christian. A lot of people remember the exact moment they accepted Christ. They remember what they were wearing, what the date was, what the time was, what the weather was. I don't have that exact moment. For me, it was a process. When I was a teenager, I started seeking questions to who God was. In my family, we didn't grow up going to church, and we didn't have any strong affiliations with a particular belief system or religious background or anything like that. But my parents raised me to have integrity and to have strong moral character, and I had a really strong foundation in that. Very fortunate to say. A lot of people can't say that. And my parents were supportive of me asking the questions that I had to ask. And while there wasn't one clear event that took place for me, there was a kind of a turning point where my questions kind of started taking a different route than what they were taking before. And that happened. I'd been going to different churches, and I'd been asking a lot of questions. I had a lot of conversations with a lot of different people. And looking back as an adult now, I realized it was probably a little nerve-wracking for my parents because some of the churches I went to, I'm sure they were like, I don't know that I feel so good about that one. But they were supportive and they let me discover what I felt like I needed to discover. And at one point, I kind of developed this philosophy that if there was a God, that I didn't think that he would want to be a mystery. I believed that if God existed, that he would want us to know who he was. He would want to have a relationship with us. So at this point, I didn't know who God was, but I came to a point of thinking, I do believe there is a God. And so there was one night when I was laying in my room, which I shared a room with my baby sister, who's here this morning. My mom's also here. You might notice my mom because I wear the same face as her. But I was laying in our room. It was late at night. It was quiet. The house was quiet. Everyone was asleep. And in the midst of my confusion and frustration and seeking and looking for answers, I wanted to pray. I wanted to spend some time in prayer talking to whoever this God was, right? Does anybody else, what happens when you're praying at night laying in bed? Anybody? What happens? You fall asleep, right? I fall asleep. I still fall asleep when I'm laying in bed at night praying to God. And I told God, I am so confused right now. I have so many questions. I'm so frustrated. Please don't let me fall asleep because I really need to talk to you. Sure enough, I started drifting off into sleep. And I heard, Karen, Karen. And my eyes shot open and I woke up. And you would think, being a teenage girl, hearing an unfamiliar voice in your bedroom late at night, the only other person being your sister, who was like 6 or 7 at the time, it was not her voice, that might be scary. But for some reason, this voice brought me peace and comfort, and I felt very, very safe. And I began praying, and I didn't fall asleep. I asked all the questions I had to ask, and my heart began to soften, and I started to recognize things in a very different way. I started to see and experience things in a different way, and that was kind of a turning point. And from then on, I started finding answers to what I was seeking. And all of those answers pointed to Jesus Christ. And once I realized who Jesus Christ was and who I am in him, I was all in. There was no turning back for me. I was excited. And I wanted to tell other people who this guy was, right? I didn't have any knowledge of church history. Like I said, I didn't really grow up going to church. So I didn't grow up with the great Sunday school teachers like we have at Edgewater. These people are dedicated to teaching our children, not just the word of God, but who he is in love and caring for them. And it's an amazing thing. And I'm watching my kids grow up with these teachers who just love them so much. And all of you guys who surround our kids with love, we are very fortunate to have that here. I didn't learn the song Jesus Loves Me till I was 22 years old. Some of you may not know that song. One time Ezra and I were at church, and our worship pastor, it was long before Edgewater even existed, it was more than 10 years ago. Our worship pastor at the time, he said during service, this isn't on the agenda, we're not supposed to sing this morning, but I just really feel like the Spirit's leading us to sing Jesus Loves Me. And you all know that song. Everybody knows that song, so sing with me. And I'm standing there like, I don't know that song. So when I went home that day, I asked Ezra to teach me Jesus Loves Me. I was 22 years old. And from that point on, he actually started teaching me all the children's songs because I didn't know them, and they're fun. So I got to learn a lot of the children's songs because, like I said, I was all in. So I wanted to make up for that, you know, that I missed. Think of the times in your life when something exciting has happened. Maybe when you were a kid, you used to lay awake at night anticipating Christmas. And you'd just be so excited you couldn't sleep. Or you'd get the Christmas gifts and you'd want to tell all your friends what you got, show them. Or maybe a wedding that you were going to go to, you're excited about, maybe your own wedding. Maybe a baby being born, a niece, a nephew, a child of your own, a grandbaby. These are all really exciting times. Maybe you bought your first house, you moved out of your parents' house, bought your first car, or built your first computer. Or, you know, whatever you're into, those things that you get really excited about, you want to share with other people, you want to talk to other people about it. It's really important that we share those things. We have there's something inside of us that calls us to share, right? Just like the disciples when they were traveling with Jesus. Sorry, I have really little ears, so I'm having a hard time with the mic thing. I even tried tape, but just doesn't work for me. Anyway, the disciples were traveling with Jesus, and they were super excited, and they're shouting out in excitement. And the Pharisees are there telling him, are you going to tell your disciples to be quiet? He's like, no, they've got to cry out. They're excited. Let them be excited. But when it comes to our faith and sharing Jesus or sharing what it is that we believe, for some reason, we might hesitate. A lot of people get hesitant. They get nervous, maybe shy, or maybe we've spent our whole lives being told it's impolite to talk about religion, or maybe we just don't know what to say. Maybe you don't have a church background, so you don't even know what to say. You don't know what Scripture says. You just know that God is real, and you want to share it with people. I recently asked, when I was thinking about what we were going to talk about this morning, I asked people to send me messages of times in their lives that God, something happened in their life where they realized that God was real, or it strengthened their relationship with Him. And I want to share with you a few of the stories that people sent me, because they're meant to be shared. It's really incredible to read and hear other people's stories. I want to share with you something that Tamara sent me. And I'm going to read it because I don't want to mess it up, because this is her story. Tamara says, when we went through let me give you a little background. Tamara is a mother of 8 children. Her oldest child, Takai, is adopted. Takai is now 15 years old. She shares, when we went through our adoption of Takai, I lost every single one of my friends in the long and trying process. The people in my life who I considered friends were really just a mass of broken relationships. I'd made excuses for these broken relationships because I didn't feel I deserved any better. God used this time in my life to remove all of them in one fell swoop. I was alone, so alone for 5 years. I thought maybe God didn't remember my loneliness, and I became comfortable in it. Then my kiddos started school, and one day, at open house, I was excited to meet my son's new friend's family. Josiah was all he talked about, so I had to meet the people who this Josiah belonged to. So I've got to tell you that during this time in my house, the Josiah she's talking about is my Josiah. During this time in our house, all we were hearing about, you know, this is kindergarten, is his new friend Daryl. And when I went to that same open house, I approached Josiah's teacher and I said, is Daryl's family here today? I hear off to my right, I'm Daryl's mom. And I look at her and her eyes widen and she says, are you Josiah's mom? So that's kind of like my that's kind of like my side of how that happened. And then Tamara continues to write, little did I know that God was introducing me to my soon-to-be best friend. In our friendship, God has taught me what his personal best is. Our friendship has taught what healthy boundaries are. God has used our friendship to restore hope, to teach true unconditional love, to show what boundaries are supposed to look like, and to give me a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I was scared that God had forgotten my need for a friend, but then he blessed me with you. Can you imagine how good it felt for me to read this story? It was precious, because Tamar is a friend that sticks closer to me than a brother, but don't get me wrong, my brother's awesome. He's here too. This is, you could see up in the picture there, that's Josiah and Daryl in first grade. And then that's them just this year, me and Tamara, and then we took a picture of all our kids together this year. Her 8 kids, my 5 kids. Our families are truly a family. We love each other so deeply, so dearly. And I didn't know until I read her story the loneliness that she had been experiencing at that time. So it's a real blessing. It was a blessing to me to just read what she had to share. And I want to also share with you something that Margo sent in. Margo says, I was raised in an atheist home. I was taught that belief in God was incongruent with intelligent thought. Sadly, my mom and dad both suffered abuses at the hands of the church or in the name of Christianity from unstable, addicted, and abusive parents. So they learned negative associations with Christianity, and that permeated her childhood. As a young adult, I was interested in Christianity, religion, and wanted a spiritual life. Looking back, I feel like my soul knew, but my mind struggled without guidance. I attended church and went to church functions. I never felt like I belonged. I felt like a fraud because I didn't really believe in God and afterlife, or at least of all Jesus. I went through college not believing but wanting to. I attended some events and church services that just didn't speak to me. when I went to Iraq, so let me tell you about Margo a little bit. Margo graduated from West Point. She served in the Army, and she served in a protective detail that provided security to the ambassador and other VIPs in Baghdad. So Margo's a pretty tough girl. When she went to Iraq, I met a man who was really into some weird religion. He gave me some readings, which I looked into and meditated on. That process made me realize that all the stuff he introduced me to was just garbage. And for the first time in my life, God really shined through. I felt like he just reached down and grabbed my heart. For the first time ever, I believed with my heart, my soul, in the Christian God. I talked to him every day. When I got home from Iraq, I bought a Bible, which I never really read. It sat on the bookshelf. I tried to read it, starting from the beginning, but would just feel upset and frustrated, and I'd put it back. One night, I laid in bed and prayed, God, I finally believe in you. I know you're there, but I'm so confused. What is the deal with Jesus? Is he real? Was or is he you? I honestly don't really get it. I heard, literally in my head, a voice that was not my own say, John 3:16. If you're not familiar with the verse, John 3:16, it's probably one of the most memorized verses in the Bible. It's, again, one of those things that a lot of people like to stand at the pulpit and say, you all know this one, but I'm not going to assume that because I didn't learn Jesus loves me until I was 22. So John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. She was scared. I've never heard a non-internal dialogue voice in my head before. I hopped out of bed and headed for my Bible on the shelf, wondering, what will it say? Will it just be some nonsense passage? Did I make this up? What if I didn't? When I got my unused Bible down and turned to the passage, I nearly dropped the book to the floor. As I read the words, an obvious answer to my direct question, my whole world shifted. My entire worldview changed. I felt scared and disoriented. I had just asked God a question, and he had unequivocally answered me. And now I had to believe in Jesus too. It was a lot to take in. I didn't feel ready. Since then, I've spent my life doing my best to live in a way that promotes love, but I still feel like an outsider in church. I still feel confused when I read the Bible. But one thing I'm not confused about anymore is that God loves us all. He hears our prayers, and he gave his one and only son, Jesus, to save the world. It's a picture of Margot and her family. She has three boys. I got messages from several people, and they were all such a joy to share because God's always at work in our lives, and they're not just stories of how somebody came to know Christ, but stories of how God has impacted them, affected them, changed them. Beth shared, this is Beth and her family. She shared about her move from California to Mississippi, about how she had intricately detailed requests of God of qualities that she wanted to find in a husband. She also shared about how God showered her and her husband with generosity when they were faithful in their giving, even though they were facing extreme financial hardship. And then Rhonda shared, this is Rhonda. Rhonda shared a really moving story, actually, about her best friend of 30 years. Her best friend of 30 years became really, really sick and was hospitalized. And the doctors gave her a 15% chance of living. Rhonda stayed in the hospital with her for 15 weeks, praying over her, loving her, being by her side. And despite the 15% chance of survival, her best friend's health was completely restored. And it was against all the odds. She also shared about Dora Faith Orphanage in Baja, Mexico. Her great-grandfather, he was the founder of this orphanage. He opened it. And now it's being run by another family, but she's very proud of this legacy, and she likes to contribute to them when she can. And one year for Christmas, she decided she wanted to get stockings, and she wanted to put the names of each child in the orphanage on the stocking because she wanted these kids to understand and know that God knows every hair on their head and that he knows us by name, and she wanted them to felt loved individually, so she wanted to put a name on each stocking, but she had to buy the stockings before she had the list of names. And so she didn't know how many to get. So she prayed about it, and God laid on her spirit to buy 100 stockings. And it was a week later that she got the list, and there were 97 names on it. And she just really felt like it was, obviously it was God moving, God speaking, and God wanted to confirm that, yes, he loves each one of those children individually and by name. So when we allow God to radically transform us, something unique and powerful happens. We're filled with excitement. We want to share this, right? People throughout the Bible who encountered Jesus, they wanted to go and tell others. They wanted to share others the great news that has come. Over the past few weeks, we've been learning from Luke. And this book is an account of what Luke saw and what he experienced in that time. This is Luke's story. It's Luke's testament of who Jesus is. It's him telling us what he saw, what the other disciples saw. But there are people who don't want to hear about the Bible. Have you ever confronted somebody? I shouldn't say confronted because that sounds confrontational, but I mean shared with somebody. What you know, what you've learned from the Bible says, and people are like, some people don't want to hear it. And that's okay. We come in a different time. You know, for me, like I said, it was a process. It was a journey. It wasn't something that happened overnight. And if somebody just came straight to me and said, well, the Bible says this, I would have probably shut that down really fast. So some people don't want to know what the Bible has to say. Some people believe that it's fictional. Some people think that it's inconsistent or it has contradictions. And some people believe that it's absurd to believe that a man rose from the dead. It's a huge ask to ask somebody to jump on board with that thought that a man rose from the dead. It is absurd. It's miraculous. I believe it's true. It takes time and it takes personal encounters for that sort of thing to start making sense. But there's something that can't be argued and there's something that can't be refuted. There's something that's disarming and even comforting, and it's your story. Maybe like me, you didn't grow up going to Sunday school, or maybe like Margot, you're still confused when you read the Bible. Maybe like Tamara, you've experienced extreme loneliness in your life. Just like the disciples, you have a story to share. Becoming familiar with Scripture and reading Scripture, it is important. It's crucial that we understand who Jesus is and that we see the things that he's done. And knowing Jesus and knowing Scripture will help shape how we feel, hear, and respond to God. But their stories aren't the only ones that are meant to be shared. Your story is meant to be shared. And it may not be a story of how you came to God. Maybe it's a story of some hurt and loneliness that you felt and you can help another person who's in that same place. Maybe you've lost a child and you're speaking to somebody who's lost a child and you can bring them comfort. Maybe you've lost a job. Or maybe you're going through wedding plans and you can talk to somebody else and tell them how you got through it. There's all kinds of things in life that we experience and we're not supposed to experience them alone. We have stories to share. 1 Peter 3:15 says, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. That was a hard one for me when I first became a Christian. My family, they endured a lot. So when I first became a Christian, I wanted to just like tell everybody about it. And I wasn't very gentle or respectful. I just wanted to like thump the Bible. You know what I mean? And that was not God's approach. And that's not really how Jesus did it. Jesus really was gentle and respectful. He spoke in stories that people related to. And you have stories that people relate to. So when people ask you to give a reason for the hope that you have, share your hope from your heart, because that is something that people can relate to. So your story is relevant. You'll see if you have notes on the back. I left little bullet points because I really want you to take this home and remember that your story is relevant. Your story is relatable. Your story is important, and your story is impactful. There are people in other parts of the world who are risking their lives to share the message of Jesus Christ because they understand what God has done and what God is doing, and they understand how important it is, so important that they are willing to risk their lives. The Spirit of Jesus is alive and living inside of us today if we ask. The same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ who walked this earth is the same Spirit that can live inside of us. If you don't have that inside of you, if you haven't come to a place of that realization, I want to pray for you this morning because it's life-changing. It's life-giving. And I want you to understand that no matter how grand or how seemingly simple or how dramatic your story is or your stories are, it's a testament of who Jesus Christ is. Sometimes even when you don't realize it. Sharing your story reminds you of your roots. It keeps us centered in our foundation in God. If we keep quiet, our memory can fade. We don't want that to happen. So don't keep your story to yourself. We are Jesus' disciples today, if we choose to be. When you accept Christ, you become his disciple. And you are a modern-day disciple. You are living in the world today. You are more relatable, oftentimes, than maybe Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. They lived in a different time. You're living now, and you're walking with Jesus now. If you are walking with Jesus now, then you have stories to share that can help others understand how relatable. And if you keep quiet, the stones will cry out. So I'm going to pray. If that's you this morning, if you've never prayed to accept Christ, and you're thinking, hey, I want that. I want that in my life. Then we're going to pray right now. And if you're living with Jesus and walking with Jesus, but you're not sharing Jesus, I'm going to pray for your strength because it can be hard. You know, people will oftentimes want to shut you down. But I don't want you to feel discouraged because you have a story to share. And I want to also say we have a lot of young people in the room. The Holy Spirit does not have age boundaries. When you've accepted Christ, you are a disciple of Christ, and you have a story to share. It doesn't matter if you are a 3-year-old child or a 100-year-old person. You have a story to share, and it is relevant. All right? There are no age boundaries to the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, thank you that I at least have some of my voice this morning, God. And I just praise you and thank you for your power, for your strength. Lord, if there's anybody in this room this morning who hasn't accepted you, I just ask that they would pray with me this morning, saying these words, God, you are God. I am not. I fall short of your perfect glory, God, and I am sorry for every mistake I've ever made while I've walked this earth. And I praise you and thank you for your forgiveness, and I accept that forgiveness. I accept the free gift of your Spirit, and I just ask that your Son, Jesus Christ, would come be with me right now, Lord. Thank you. And Lord, I pray for all of us, God, that we would have the strength to share who you are, that you would give us the strength to tell others. And God, that when sometimes words fail us, Lord, that we would act out in love and kindness, that we would show others who Jesus is through the lives that we're living. I praise you, I thank you, and I just ask that you would go out with us this week and that we would share with others the mightiness of your name. Amen. So this week, go ahead, if everybody could stand with us this morning. The kids were gracious enough to give us our closing song. So as you go out this week, may the God of hope and peace and love bless you. May you feel encouraged and strengthened and filled with the joy of God, just like these disciples that were praising out Jesus' name. May you feel that same spirit and that same strength and that same hope to share with others. And if you've accepted Christ for the first time today, share that with somebody before you leave this morning. And may you be an encouragement to others. And may the God of peace and hope bless you. Amen.